Father God, thank you so much for your word, because the more we meditate upon your word, the more we see and the more we find. Lord, thank you for this Advent season. It turns our minds toward the coming of Christ, not just his first coming, but also his second coming. So we pray, Father God, bless this message, this passage that looks like more just like a story, but there's so much within it that we can see goes with this theme. The Lord's advent should find us waiting for him by serving. Lord, that's what we want in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Most everybody knows that the word advent means coming, but the advent season is pivotal. It's actually very pivotal in the Christian calendar because it ends the Christian calendar and it restarts the Christian calendar. So it's like it is a pivot. If you turn right around and start over again the whole Christian year. So Advent begins with these songs that are about the longings of the Jewish people for Christ to come. The Old Testament longings like, O come, O come Emmanuel. In fact, in the other song, it says, joy of every longing heart, come thou long expected Jesus. They're all about waiting for this Advent, the coming of God. And then the season moves into the Nativity, and which is his first coming, not his second coming. And then the Nativity fulfills those longings, or it starts the beginning of the fulfillment of those longings. And these themes run from Sunday after Thanksgiving, which is this Sunday, all the way till Christmas Eve. And that's the Advent season. But then they pour over into Christmastide, which is the 12 days of Christmas. And we do have one of those every year. There's a Sunday that is there's 12 days, so there has to be an Advent. Sometimes there's even two, you know, but we're just going to have this one. And the candles that we've lit, there's a central one, will be lit after Christmas Day. And I think that will be, two Sundays, because 26th, it'll be a Christmas Sunday. So this is how the Christian year goes, with Advent as the pivotal time. And then at Advent, our hearts join those Jewish believers in pondering the birth of the promised Messiah, the anointed one, the Messiah, Christ. That's what the name Christ means, the anointed one. And that's what Messiah means in the Hebrew. And his coming would do what? It would bring an era of deliverance and peace. An era of deliverance and peace is what Christ brought. Maybe not in the way they were expecting. But with them, we wait and we watch. In other words, we wait watch. Now, between Thanksgiving and New Year's, between Thanksgiving and New Year's, there's not much weight watching, and I know it. I've been slimming down, but I think I'm going to get back up there. Anyway, today we're looking at those who were weight watching, but it was W-A-I-T, weight watching. And this story of Zechariah, or we can pronounce it Zechariah, I think the really pronunciation of it. He was a weight watcher. He was the husband of Elizabeth. He was the father of John the Baptist. And his example should help us see what the theme of this message is. The Lord's advent should find us waiting by serving. Waiting for him by serving him. So Zechariah, as well as Elizabeth, were very watchful believers. In verse 6, it says, both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. They were upright in the sight. Now, sometimes there's poetry in the Bible like that. They were upright in the sight of God. And, you know, we're watchful. We show that we're watchful if we are watching what we do, knowing that God's eyes, his sight, God's eyes are watchful too. They're watching us. Do you guys, I think you all remember, and we can't sing it because we can't sing in chorus here. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. And it goes on. Be careful, little ears, what you hear, little tongue, what you say, little hands, what you do, little feet, where you go. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little one. And you know, we need that song today. There's a lot of people who don't think God's watching, and they just keep on doing things that they should be watchful over. Well, these two people had their focus on that watching. You know, if we have a watching on the world's focus, if we are watching what the world is focused on, then we're sort of bent over to the horizontal level and we're bent. But if we're watching with a God-centered focus, we're upright. And that's what they were. They were upright. I know that's a strange illustration, but it's really... C.S. Lewis used it. He called, we are bent toward the creature. We're bent toward created things. When we should be upright, worshiping God. Well, their focus was a God-centered focus, these two. Observing all the Lord's commandments and regulation blamelessly. Waiting faithfully starts by observing what we're supposed to be watchful of, what we were given to be watchful over, and that is His Word was given to us. And the commandments in His Word were given to us. So waiting faithfully starts by observing what God's Word teaches. And in the past, this couple were also in hope praying, waiting, and watching for a pregnancy, but they didn't get it. So in verse 7 it says, but they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Now, we don't know how far along, but you know there was another time when Abraham was 100, I believe, and Sarah was 90, and God said the same thing. Well, in that day, barrenness was a disgrace. Later on, we find Elizabeth, when she gets pregnant with John the Baptist, she says, my disgrace has been taken away. Well, why was there disgrace? Well, because there would be grief that you could not pass along a family heritage. And that was something that caused them to feel it very disgraceful not to have children. So barrenness also had one more thing. It canceled any chance that they would be the parents of the prophesied Messiah. If they're barren, they're sure not going to have the Messiah. Well, Mary, we're not talking about Mary today, but really, this is an introduction to Susie's message. I think next week is Mary and Elizabeth, but many of the people there had this hope. I hope we're the ones that bring forth the Messiah. They were also waiters and watchers in that hope. And they knew, and this is the reason they knew it, because they knew that the Messiah was going to be a descendant of Abraham. And despite their childlessness, I got to pronounce that right, this old couple, and they were old, kept faithfully watching and waiting. Now, Zechariah's weight watching was involved in priestly ministry. It says in verse 8 and 9, once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. So he was on duty serving as a priest, but it was a sporadic ministry. But his sporadic ministry points to our continuous ministry, as continuous as Jesus' ministry was after his baptism. That's what baptism means. You die to the old life and you rise to a new life. And in this new life, you are always on duty. You are always ready to go. Zechariah's blood tie made him, he was blood tied to Aaron. So his blood tie to Aaron made him a priest. But our blood tie to Jesus has made us into a royal priesthood. That's what it says in Peter. We are a royal priesthood with priestly duties. Now, Zechariah was on duty by a schedule. If we follow Jesus, we're always on duty. We're always on call. We're always at His disposal. We're always ready to serve Him. That's how it should be in our lives. And His service was to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Now, we're always in the temple. You know why? We carry the temple around with us. It's our bodies. That's what the Word says. So wherever we go, the temple is there. We are carrying the temple around with us. And what are we supposed to do in the temple? You know, it says here that he was on schedule. He was doing his service. And his service was to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. So we're always in the temple. And our main service in this bodily temple is to burn incense. Now, here's why I say this. In verse 10, "And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside." Do you know why? In the Old Testament, there are many physical things that have a spiritual meaning. And incense stands for prayer. And when they were burning incense in that temple, that meant that the people were to pray. And you know, Paul tells us in the New Testament, pray without ceasing. Why? Because we're always priests. And we're always on duty. And we're always to be waiting and watching for Christ's second advent. Jesus said in Mark 13:33, "Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is." You don't know when the time of the Lord's return is. His advent should find us waiting for Him by serving Him. That's the theme that I'm trying to get across here. And to wait on the Lord in prayer is a big part of our service to Him. And it has some benefits in Psalm 27:14. It says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Do you need a stronger heart? Well, physically I know I need a stronger heart, so I won't have this weakness all the time. But we need to have strong spiritual hearts at the very center of our being strengthened. So prayer does that. So be of good courage. Wait on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord is how that psalm ends, that verse in the Psalms ends. And Zechariah prayerfully was waiting, and this waiting that he had proved to have great benefits. And what were they? Well, Zechariah had a fulfilling surprise we read about in verse 13 through 15. "But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord.'" What a surprising joy and delight. But not only that, it said your prayer has been heard, but not just your prayer has been heard, but many will rejoice because of his birth. Why? Because John was to be have a prophetic ministry of getting people ready for the Messiah. And that was a surprise too, because the Messiah would be God with us. And so, God used John in his prophetic ministry to prepare his people for his coming, his advent. And it says that in verse 16 and 17. "Many of the people of Israel will He will bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And God still uses the message of the Advent to get us prepared, to get us to renew our spiritual loyalties, that is, bring us back to the Lord, to renew us as godly parents, to return the father's hearts, the mother's hearts, to their children, you know, and grandchildren, because that's what is a breakdown in our society today, and God wants to reconnect fathers with their sons, mothers with their daughters. There's no division, no rift, but there's peace. And there's the passing of the heritage. And then to renew our obedience in word and thought and deed. In other words, to turn the disobedient in thought, word, and deed to the wisdom of the righteous. So Zechariah's joy in his boy became God's plan in a man. I had to put some poetry in there. Zechariah's joy in his boy. I mean, he was. It says right here, it would be a delight, a joy to him. His joy in his boy became God's plan in a man to fulfill Isaiah 40, verse 3. And here's what that prophecy is that John would be. A voice of one calling. In the desert, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Did Zechariah get it? Do you think he got it? Was he understanding what God was doing when he gave? He didn't get the Messiah, but he got the one who prepared people for the Messiah. John shall be his name, John the Baptist. So he did get it. He got the big picture. And we know that he got it because after this passage comes the story of Mary, the story of Mary's visit to Elizabeth, and then the birth of John the Baptist. And here's what Zechariah says more than 50 verses later. This is a long chapter. More than 50 verses later, this is what he says. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the great and tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. That was his job, and that was what he did. Because who would bring that peace? The Prince of Peace would bring that peace. So the Lord's advent should find us waiting for him by serving him. It found Zechariah still weight watching in priestly service all those years. In his old age, he got to see the miraculous birth of a son who would prepare God's people for God's son. As Zechariah did, let's be waiting and watching during this Advent season and the rest of our lives in faithful service while we anticipate Christ's advent, his coming. Let's pray. Father God, again, we are so thankful for this season because this is an opportunity for us to turn our attention and maybe to help others turn their attention to hope for deliverance, hope for peace in the world, because of peace in their hearts through Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.